Every year, many thousands of prisoners are released back into society, many after years behind bars, and because some of them are ill-equipped to handle the realities of life on the outside, they return to a life in crime and land back in prison. One nonprofit organization in New York City, the Fortune Society, has been working for many years to help break that cycle. It's my pleasure to welcome to my show today the organization's founder, David Rothenberg, its executive director, Joanne Page, and Kaz Torres, a former inmate who credits the organization in helping him turn his life around. Welcome to the show. And David, weren't you working on Broadway when you started the Fortune Society 40 years ago?
Back in North 6, yes.
So where did this, where did the idea come from?
From the play Fortune in Men's Eyes, which I produced, which was a prison drama by an ex-offender.
And that was Sal Mineo, was it?
No, he did a revival of it. John Herbert's play, and we started a dialogue on the stage after performances, which led to the creation of the Fortune Society.
Named after the play, obviously.
Named after the play, which comes from a Shakespearean sonnet. I retired years ago. Joanne Page is now the director. And the exciting thing is that with her vision and tenacity, she created The Castle, which is Kaz is an alumnus, a building that was abandoned up at 140th and Riverside Drive. Maybe she should tell you about it.
Well, actually, this is pretty late in the game, the creation of The Castle.
No.
No?
Well, it's been up for 5 years.
Yeah, that's late in the game. This organization is 40 years old.
Yeah, 40 years old, right.
And prisons have been around for hundreds of years, so a new vision and a new concept is only 5 years old.
Well, before we get to The Castle, Joanne, I want to know why there's even a need for a private organization like Fortune Society. Shouldn't the government be providing these sorts of services in our own best interests?
Well, I think what the government should be doing is not doing the kind of damage that it does. What the government's doing is locking up an astronomical number of people. I think that what we do is we do damage mitigation and we try to do prevention to keep people from going back in again. But I think that what we do is more out of a self-help mode, and I don't think government could do it. What I would love to do to see government doing is stopping the damage that makes us necessary.
Well, Kaz, how did you wind up in prison and how long were you in?
Well, I was in for a total of about 16 years. And I was raised prepped for prison. I was raised in institutions and stuff like that. And I picked up a drug habit at a very early age. And all my crimes were drug-related. And the minute I stopped using drugs, I stopped getting arrested.
But many people in prison will say, I'm not going to go back. And then
everybody will say that. Some people will say, I'll be back. And some people will say bluntly that they don't want to leave because they've become institutionalized. Because
they actually understand that system. They understand that world.
Well, prison takes away everything as far as responsibilities and everything like that. And the only thing it prepares you for is to come back to prison.
And did they give you any kind of rehabilitation? I remember years ago a friend who'd come out of prison. He'd been trained as a draftsman, but he wasn't given real drafting skills. He couldn't get a job, so he felt that it had just been a waste of his time.
I took several courses, and it really didn't add up to anything. Masonry, small and stuff like that, it doesn't really add up to anything when you come out.
David, what was the response to the creation of Fortune Society in the 60s?
Well, it was the 60s. That's when people didn't have to apologize for caring. Everybody had a movement, so there was great excitement. And, of course, I was involved in the theater community, and the theater people thought that it was terrific.
So that's where most of your funding came from?
Funding came from, thousands of individuals. In the early days, we didn't even know about funding. When we started, it was in my theater office. People had to tell us that there was such a thing as a nonprofit status. We didn't know that for the first year we existed. We were really naive. But there was an excitement in the 60s that people, anti-war movement, civil rights movement, the women's movement, the gay movement, and then a movement to create an opportunity or a place to catch the breath for men and women who had come out of prison.
Could you get any money from governmental sources?
Not in the early stages. It took years before that government would even respond. As a matter of fact, we were of the opinion that there are people who come to us were infiltrating that were in fact government. We know that of one person who in fact in the early days was a government person trying to find out what we were about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess J. Edgar Hoover was concerned that you were being do-gooders. There had to be something wrong.
Yeah, well, we were accused of being do-gooders, and I used to say it's better than being do-badders.
Joanne, what about now? Where do you get most of your funding these days?
Well, about 90% of it is from government, but we still have individuals who care tremendously about what we do and who donate to us. It's an odd relationship because we get city, state, and federal money, but we're also an advocacy organization. So we're often criticizing the very agencies that fund us and supporting them when they do the right thing.
What services do you provide to someone like Kaz?
Well, we try to do what we call one-stop shopping. We want anybody who walks in our doors to be able to sit with somebody, figure out what they need in order to get stable, and then to arrange those services for them. Some of them are in-house. At this point, we do everything from drug treatment to counseling to having an in-house school. But we never had housing, and housing was just a critical need. We were losing too many good people to the street, and that's why we created the Castle.
In 2002.
I think Kaz's story of how he came to the Castle.
Yeah, I was about to ask him. Well, first of all, did you know about the Fortune Society when you were in prison?
No, ironically enough, because it was created the same year I was born. But I didn't know about Fortune, and I did find out about it at a right before a critical point in my life where I changed, because when it did happen that I decided to change or I decided to stop, I was aware of Fortune at that point. Had I not been aware of it, I may not be sitting here today.
Well, let me back up. So you got out of prison,
right,
and you could have slipped back into the life that had gotten you in trouble in the first place.
Right. What happened is when I got out of prison, I did slip back into the life for a period of time, and I was in and out of Rikers Island. But somewhere along the line, I was in a park, and I was actually sleeping in the park, and somebody told me about a Fortune. I get a Metro card there, and I decided to go and get the Metro card to sell it, to use it to get drugs. And I wasn't ready then, but I found out about Fortune. And when the time came that I was ready, I had a place to go.
Now, this kind of recidivism, Joanne, is typical, and it's at a tremendous cost to society, isn't it?
Oh, it's a tremendous cost in every way you could say. It costs some $30,000 a year to lock somebody up. But the huge cost, I think, is in the damage done to the community and to people's families. I'm amazed more people don't go back to prison. Something like 2 out of 3 end up back in the system within 3 years after release. And when you look at the barriers that people face and the training that people get while they're locked up and institutionalized about how to live in institutions, I'm amazed that 2/3 and not more go back.
Kaz, what was the hardest part about life after prison for you?
I would say the hardest part was until I came to Fortune was that I didn't know where to turn. I knew I was ready, and I knew about Fortune, but had I not known about Fortune, I would have had no idea where to turn, and I would have probably just lasted a short period of time before I would have reverted to what I did know.
Mm. And that means taking drugs and committing crime.
And drugs and everything like that.
I think it's interesting going to the Castle, though, was a key.
I'm getting to the Castle, David. My guests are Kaz Torres.
I used to ask you questions.
You want to sit in this seat? My guests are Kaz Torres, who's a former prison inmate, David Rothenberg, who's the founder of the Fortune Society, and Joanne Page, who's the executive director of Fortune these days. Okay, let's talk about the Castle. In 2002, you opened this residential facility. Up until then, there had been no residential facility?
Well, we'd never housed people before. We see 3,000 or 4,000 people a year coming to us for help, and we'd never had housing. We knew we needed it.
You just had to hope that they would leave your offices with something that would help them get through until the next time they saw you.
You know, we have some decent housing options that are available in the community, but most of them exclude the people we serve. They won't take people with a violent conviction. They won't take people who don't have clean time. They'll only take them if they have a belt of time drug-free. And we were losing good people to the streets. We were losing them to prison. So we decided we needed to do it. We bought the shell of a building in 1998, and then it took us a number of years to raise the money to renovate the building. We opened it in 2002. We've had over 600 people come through our doors, and we run it the same way we run Fortune as a whole, which is to say if you are a person who's done time, if you're looking to change your life, you're eligible.
And how long do people tend to stay there?
We work it around the individual. We have emergency housing, and people tend to stay there for a handful of weeks. And then we have what we call our phased permanent housing, which is longer term. And the average length of stay, I think, is about a year. We've had people stay as long as 3 years. We've had people ready to leave in 6 months. Very flexible.
What about you, Cass?
I stayed there a year. Actually, I've seen people come and go quickly, and then others stay more longer. But I stayed a year, and it's not like I could have, you know, moved back with my wife. As it were, I was spending the weekends with her. But I needed to learn about myself and prepare myself, and I think I made the best choice of my life.
And what did living in the castle actually do for you?
Living in the castle gave me...
You're getting therapy? Is that what you're suggesting?
It gave me a safe place to be while I learned about myself. It gave me... I didn't have to worry about food, housing, even Metro cards, you know. I had everything I needed, so I had plenty of time to work on myself, and I did. I spent every hour of the day doing something, going somewhere that was therapeutic to me. And it paid off.
Is there still a recidivism problem for people who've been through the program?
There always will be. We serve people with long-term addiction histories, and there's no silver bullet. If you've had 20 or 30 years to get into deep trouble, no magic bullet exists. You may take 20 or 30 years to work your way out of it. So we work with people on the long term. And what Kaz experienced is what we call seed planting. We have an open door. People can come in, and as long as they don't do damage to the place, they're welcome. Many people come before they're ready, and then they remember us when they're ready. So the castle works that way. We also take people back if they're in trouble again.
But I'm wondering why Kaz didn't know about Fortune when he was in prison. He had to find out about it later, actually, after he kind of was threatened with hitting rock bottom again.
Okay. I think a lot of that is that... a lot of stuff that is available as far as paperwork and books and stuff like that regarding places like this is really either outdated or scarce in prison. It's, the pre-release programs are run by inmates, and the stuff that they're supplied with is generally outdated, even regarding HIV awareness, stuff like that. And it's just like there's a lot of things in prison that people need to be aware of as, you know, for general survival that takes up a lot of your time.
David, Congress recently passed the Second Chance Act. What's that? Do you know?
It's something that I think will start fueling reentry and discharge planning.
So this is a step in the right direction?
It's a right, yes, absolutely. And it removes some of the barriers to people coming home. But when you look at discharge planning, most people get released with nothing. They're dumped in the street if they come out of state prison. If they're homeless, it's $40 in their pocket and nowhere to go.
The $40 also comes out of their pocket. It used to be given to them. Now it's they take it from whatever 25 cents an hour you make. They start from right from as soon as you start making it, they start taking out for that $40 that you get released with.
So you have to earn the $40 that they dump you on the streets with.
No, you're not giving that anymore.
Okay, David, now there's a play called The Castle, and it has nothing to do with Kafka.
Nothing.
Tell us about it.
Well, this came about actually because of Kaz. Kaz had submitted to me. He was writing a lot and thought it would be interesting to write a book. And my reaction is every third guy coming out of jail is writing a book about their lives. And I said, we should dramatize
it. Some of
this.
Them are even telling the truth.
Yeah. I thought we should dramatize his story. And we found three other people. And we started staging this play. And we did it up at the castle. We have a community room for 100 people. And folks started to come to see it and liked it. And we thought we would raise some money for the Fortune Society. And then two producers, Eric Krebs and Chase Mishkin, came to see it. And they said they want to bring it off Broadway. And so suddenly we're in show business. The play The Castle, which is about the lives of Kaz and three other people who had gone through the castle, lived there after coming out of prison. This play is starting previews next Sunday at the New World Stages.
On 50th Street. That's March 30th.
Yeah, we're stunned, though, because we never anticipated. We just did this as an exercise that would be quasi-therapeutic and maybe enlighten a few people.
Kaz, had you ever written before, performed before?
No, actually...
You look like you could have been an actor from the start, and if your life had gone in another direction.
I've always been acting, but it was, you know...
Acting out.
Revolving around survival, you know, stuff like that. But I've never written before. I had a therapist for a short time who suggested I should write stuff and practice reading it, and then I decided that maybe I should write a book. And it was very healthy for me. I liked it.
David did a rehearsal for us, and I didn't know what to expect. And the four people who are the actors who are really telling their own life stories are all people I care about. So I tried to separate that out. And what I realized was this was powerful theater, because this is four people talking about their lives and their changes and their transformations in ways that are so human and so powerful and so core that it moved me in a way that great theater does, separate from knowing these people.
So has it gotten you writing other things?
No, actually, I'm still writing my book. It may be some years before I finish it, but I'm okay with that.
David, you resigned as executive director some years back. Do you still keep your finger in the Fortune Society?
I go to the Castle with Joanne every Thursday. There's a community meeting at the Castle, and the best drama in New York is meeting with the residents that are there every Thursday, talking about what went well with their week, what didn't go well. And, I stayed very much in touch. And then doing this play, of course, is...
Well, this has to be exciting. It brings you back to what you do, which
is
Zimbabwe Theater.
The two passions, the Fortune Society and the theater. But we never expected this. We never expected the reaction of audience people to be... But maybe it's because we were so close to it that the inherent drama in the lives of people like Kaz and Kenny Harrigan and Vilma Donovan and Angel Ramos, that their lives are so dramatic that it's obvious theater.
Well, it's happened before. The Short Eyes came out of a prison drama group.
And Fortune in Men's Eyes. But this is where the actors are the people telling their stories. It's not actors coming in playing inmates. This is former inmates playing themselves.
So they really understand the parts.
Oh, yeah. More than ever. More each time, actually.
I should give out that information once again. The Castle is a theatrical event on Sundays and Mondays at 3 p.m. at the Castle, 630 Riverside Drive. It's over now?
No. Yeah, it's going to be. It's moving off Broadway starting Sunday.
At the New World Stages on 50th Street.
It's going to play Saturdays and Sundays at 5.
And I thank you all so much for being with us. We've been talking with David Rothenberg, Joanne Page, and Kaz Torres about the Fortune Society and the new theatrical event, The Castle.